Nearly 50 million people in the U.S. live with chronic pain, which is defined as anything that lasts longer than 3 months and can be truly crippling. As we know, it can also lead to addictions to opioid painkillers, addictions that can be deadly. So if chronic pain is something you or someone you know or love experiences, then listen up. Because National Geographic features a big takeout on the latest in pain and pain research. What can we learn from people using virtual reality or scorpion toxins to stem pain? Or what can we learn from people who don't feel any pain at all? Let's bring in author Udijit Bhattacharjee. Udijit, welcome.
Thank you so much, Robin.
And we have to drive this home. This isn't just a light backache, although those can be awful. Tell us the story of Tom Norris, who has had searing hip pain since cancer radiation treatment that cured him almost 3 decades ago, but brings him to his knees a lot of the time. I mean, describe the pain.
He was left with this pain that started at the bottom of his spine and went up all the way to the top of his neck. Mm. It was just a really sort of debilitating kind of pain that stayed with him for the last 3 decades. There are good days and bad days. And so Tom Norris had to retire from the Air Force. He had mobility issues. He tried all sorts of therapy. The pain just kept coming back, and he had to learn to live with it.
He felt like he was drowning. He would maybe just be zoned out if he took painkillers. He tried bee stings, magnetherapy, faith healing, steroids.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I mean, he was so desperate that he scoured the world for treatments, and nothing really gave him lasting relief. You know, things would ease up for a day or two, and then it would be back.
And then you have a woman named Jo Cameron, Scottish, feels no pain at all, even during childbirth and surgery. So talk about what researchers might have learned from her.
Well, what scientists have learned from Jo and people like Jo is that these people have certain mutations in their genes that make them insensitive to pain. And by learning about those people, by learning about their genetics, researchers are figuring out the biology of pain.
Well, it's also a reminder that pain is the body's alarm system. It can be a good thing. These people can scald themselves because they don't know their skin is burning, for instance, because they don't feel it. So pain has a purpose. But pain, the kind of pain we're talking about, isn't a symptom of something. It's a disease in and of itself, as you write. So talk about understanding how pain goes from the message of pain gets from the brain down the spine, is it?
Right. You're right that pain is basically a gift from nature to us, because without pain, we wouldn't be able to preserve our bodies. So the way that pain works is that we have these special neurons called nociceptors, basically our pain-sensing alarm system. It's these nerves that will send pain signals up to the spinal cord, and there, the pain signals are transmitted through another set of nerves onto the brain where the pain is perceived. So pain is sort of this funny thing where we associate pain with the site of the injury or the site of the insult, but the pain actually is experienced in the brain. Mm-hmm. So it has to travel up from the skin or from the tongue up into the central nervous system.
So the thinking is to interrupt that in some way.
That's right. You can try and block the pain signals. You've got different places in this pathway where you might be able to take action. So that is what has given researchers all these different handles for trying to alleviate pain, especially chronic pain, which is the problem that we're trying to solve mainly. We don't want to eliminate pain entirely because pain is useful.
We're also understanding how much the mind and the mood affects pain. And I want to preface by saying, if you are suffering terrible pain, we are not saying that it's all in your head or that there's something you can, just think about and change it. We are not saying that. That would be so insulting. But it is true that there have been experiments where people have been told that they had certain surgeries to heal a shoulder pain from a bone spur. They didn't have the surgery, but they still felt relief from the pain. There is experimentation with virtual reality where people watch, you know, some sort of a video while they're having a procedure. It lessens their pain. And there has been examination of how when you're sad, pain feels worse. So what is the role of the mind? And again, we're not assigning this, you know, to the victim of pain, that it's their job to fix it. But what is the role?
Yeah, you're right to preface, you know, the question with that remark, Robin. But it's true. This is not some kind of new agey mumbo jumbo. There is indeed this link between mind and body when it comes to the experience of pain. There are experiments that have shown that our expectation of pain actually shapes the pain experience. So when we're sad or depressed or when we're anxious, pain feels more intense in general. When we are more blasé about things, then pain can be lessened, or the experience of pain can be less intense. And so one location where you can change the experience of pain is the mind itself. You mentioned virtual reality. I was surprised. You know, I went to this lab and I put on these virtual reality goggles and I watched this very soothing video of sort of life under the ocean. And while I was watching all of this, I was treated to pulses of heat on my skin. And without the virtual reality, I could tolerate a certain temperature. And then while I was watching the video, my tolerance for the heat went up by close to 2 degrees, which, you know, which is significant. Mm-hmm. So that was just a demonstration of what is possible.
And what is that? Is that distraction or, you know?
The idea is that either it's distraction or the relaxation or the entertaining quality of the video, it's one or several of these things that are influencing how the pain itself is being experienced.
Hmm. Well, we're talking about pain that maybe, you know, as we said, it isn't the symptom of something anymore. You might have had something like cancer treatment, but now the pain is the disease. The cancer is gone. You might have had an injury, but there's something called central sensitization, which is that the area around your injury, like a burn, is painful to the touch, even though that wasn't where the burn was. It's a nervous system malfunction. You write about researchers taking a surgical approach, implanting microelectrodes in the brain to help process the emotional side of pain. But back to Tom Norris, who suffers this debilitating, drop to your knees pain. He started a support group through the American Chronic Pain Association. And you attended one meeting, 5 men, 5 women, who all were just there to help each other through their pain. I love when you told one of the attendees, "Why, I'm not here to, I don't have pain, I'm here to listen." And he said, "Well, maybe we should just punch you in the face so you know how we feel." But it seems that as researchers are looking at scorpion toxins and all these other attempts to find a new way to treat pain, people sitting down and being able to talk about it helps.
It does. And once again, you know, it might sound like a new agey concept of people holding hands and singing kumbaya. But the fact is that pain is subjective. And there's the intensity, you know, the physical sensation of pain, which is a part of it. But that's not all there is to pain. There's the anguish, there's the suffering, you know, there's the distress, the trauma surrounding the pain. And it turns out that if you manipulate those different aspects of pain, you can kind of reduce the overall pain experience. And that's what people in this support group seem to be doing for each other when they speak to one another, when they say, "Here's how I felt yesterday," or, you know, "The next time you feel like this, give me a call and I'll walk you through some breathing exercises." You know, let's face it, we're talking about chronic pain today, but chronic pain has been with us for eons. And it's only because of this opioid crisis and this really tragic, last few years that we are all awakened to to exactly how much pain there is, how much chronic pain there is in society.
Yeah. Every time we do a story on the opioid crisis and the insidiousness of some of the companies behind it, pushing pain pills, we always hear from people desperate for them. They need something more. And this article tells about everyone who's working so hard to find them something. That's Udijit Bhattacharjee, contributing writer at National Geographic and author of the cover story in the Future of Medicine issue this month. It's called A World of Pain. We'll link you up at hearandnow.org. Udijit, thank you.
Thank you so much, Robin.
And by the way, we mentioned scorpion toxins. Well, scientists in Vietnam are experimenting with venom from a scorpion that glows blue at night when a light hits it. And researchers have had some successes with the venom of one of the world's deadliest animals, the cone snail. They're all hoping to find an alternative to opioids